This is the Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors Podcast, sponsored by Bemidji State University and Northwest Technical College. The Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors Podcast is also sponsored by Visit Bemidji and Grand Haven Campground. Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors covers the lakes, woods, trails, wildlife, and anything else going on outdoors in Paul Bunyan's playground. If you're fascinated by what you're hearing today, Bemidji State University might be the place for you when it comes to college. They're located amid the lakes and forests of the Northwoods, and it's the only place in Minnesota where you can earn a four-year degree in aquatic biology. It's a state-of-the-art program on the shores of Lake Bemidji, giving you high-tech lakeside facilities and ample opportunity for research and a hands-on education. You can choose fisheries biology, aquatic systems, or wetlands ecology. An aquatic biology education at Minnesota's premier Northwoods University. It's the right fit for you. Visit BemidjiState.edu. We talked to our resident Renaissance man, Matt Brewer of North Country Guide Service today, so that means we're talking bass fishing, that means we're talking turkey, and that means we're talking edibles. Plus, his first ever Fast Five. It's all coming up.
Hi, this is Dick Beardsley, Bemidji Area Fishing Guide. I'd like to invite you to come to our beautiful town of Bemidji. We've got over 400 lakes in our area teeming with walleye, pike, muskie, bass, and panfish. We're the gateway to the Chippewa National Forest. We've got miles upon miles of biking and hiking trails. Paul Bunyan and Babe the Blue Ox. Fine shops and eateries in downtown Bemidji. Headwaters of the mighty Mississippi at Itasca State Park. Beautiful resorts, hotels, and bed and breakfasts. Visit Bemidji one step further.
I'm Bruce Jean, and this is Fishing Paul Bunyan Country.
Hey, we're checking in with Matt Brewer of North Country Guide Service. It's been a little too long. Let's just put it that way. Matt, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, it's been a while. Thanks for having me.
Well, you know, we got into fishing season, and we were busy with these different walleye tournaments. And as I was busy with the Knights of Columbus walleye tournament, I'm checking social media. I'm seeing you catch some just monster bass.
Yeah, my son dictates a lot of my days off now, so a lot more fishing on my days off than I normally do, and he's been wanting to chase smallies and crappies and all these different things, which is kind of fun because if he wanted to chase walleyes, I think I'd have to put him up for adoption. I love the walleyes, but if I had to chase them every day on my days off, I don't think I could handle it.
You know, I got to tell you, that seems to be a growing phenomenon, which I think is healthy in our neck of the woods, is that willingness and that desire, actually, to fish multiple species rather than just focus on one.
Yeah, I actually did a guide trip last night, and when I picked them up from the resort, I was like, what are we chasing? I brought the kitchen sink. I didn't know what you guys wanted to go after. You didn't specify. And they're like, we want to catch everything. And we actually, I got it out of Coles on Big Turtle. And we caught pretty much everything you can possibly catch on Big Turtle, aside from like a dogfish or a burbot. So it was really fun, like not having the pressure of, oh, we have to find this or we have to find that. But then it started to become a game. I'm like, okay, what's left in this lake? We need a walleye, crappie. So then it was a game with myself trying to make sure they got a little bit of everything. But those trips are absolutely a blast. And for the clients, like, you know, if you kind of pigeonhole yourself into one species and things are tough and you're not willing to go chase something else, it can be a long day, and it can be a struggle or a grind. I did a trip the other day, and they went to walleyes, and I don't know what it was, but I was struggling. And Rylander was out the same day, and we were on the same lake, fishing the same spots. And I'm sure he'll bask in all of his glory hearing this, but his clients did really well, and you know, his boat control was better or his setups were better, and they did really well, and we struggled. I think we caught the bigger fish, but he definitely caught more, and it was one of those days where I was struggling, and at the same time I kept looking at the shoreline, and I'm like, I know for a fact that the crappies and bluegills are up shallow, and with how this day's going, I'd love to go up there, but the clients just wanted to, you know, strictly chase walleyes, and we ended up doing all right toward the end, but it was a little bit of a grind, and had they been more open to changing things up, you know, the numbers would have been a lot different, because we could have went up and chased some panfish and would have been a blast, but like I said, we salvaged it, but if you're willing to go after anything and kind of let your guide dictate it, and you just want to have fun and catch fish, those days are a lot of fun.
Well, I got to tell you, I think that we are kind of in that sweet spot, right, where pretty much everything's biting for another couple weeks, and as you know, July heats up, walleyes will start to slow down, and not all places, a lot of places, muskies will start to heat up, but really, outside of muskies, we're kind of in the sweet spot right now.
Yeah, in my opinion, I mean, it's been a really busy spring, and I've been out most days, and I feel like we're right toward the tail end of like the best fishing of the year. Like last week, I would say was the best. I mean, like you could go out catch a limit of walleyes if you wanted. You could go out and catch a limit of bluegills if you wanted. You could catch a limit of pretty much anything you wanted last week. And now, you know, the crappies are post-spawn, and the bluegills are in a state of confusion. Some are pre-spawn, some are on beds. The walleyes have started to scatter. The lakes are like slime balls. You know, they're ready for the algae bloom. So, you know, give me last week over this week, 10 times out of 10, because while the fishing is still really good, like last night we absolutely crushed and everything bit, having to take all the slime off the hooks, you know, especially when you're with clients who don't fish very often or are doing a new technique that they're maybe not used to, taking that slime off constantly, or, you know, dealing with having to move a little more often than I would have last week. I would take last week, but yes, I would still say we're still in that zone where everything is really active, and you can kind of go out and pick your poison. If you want to catch bass, you can go do that really easily. If you want to go catch walleye, you can find those really easily. Finding the right ones or the right numbers might be a little different, but for the walleye fishermen right now, I would just bring a few extra tools. Don't go out and say, oh, I'm going to jig today. And if they don't go on a jig, you know, they might be 40 yards away, and if you had a leech on or a crawler, you could do way better. So you bring a few different things, you're going to do really well. I even started finally catching a few on crankbaits, so I'm probably going to force feed them crankbaits pretty soon, just because bait is so expensive. But that's even starting to kick off, so it is a really fun time of year.
You know, you were talking about Big Turtle a little earlier. I think, and that's always been one of your favorites, and you've mentioned that before, but I think we are pretty spoiled when we live in an area where a lake that awesome can be that overlooked.
I don't know that it is anymore. And maybe really? Maybe I shouldn't be talking about it. But
it's too late now. You've been talking about it for years.
Well, you know, when I first moved to Bemidji, the first place I lived was in a little cabin on Big Turtle. And, you know, I spent like 5 or 6 years living on Big Turtle. So, and, you know, had a good relationship with Coles and White Pines, and did a lot of my guiding out of there. So it's easy for me to like that lake, because it was home for many years. And, I could keep my boat in the water and didn't have to tow it from place to place. You know, you can always find something biting out there. It's, you know, not the greatest lake in the area for walleyes. It's not the greatest crappie lake. It's not the greatest bluegill lake. But it's good enough for all those things where you don't really have to go anywhere else. But yeah, this year I've had to park on the highway several times. Uh-huh. So I definitely wouldn't say it's totally overlooked. But yeah, it's a little, and we have hundreds of those.
Oh, yeah.
hundreds. You know, places like, and I'm not trying to spoil anybody's favorites, but, you know, places like Kitchee or Andrusia or Big Lake. Like, I go to Big Lake, and the fishing is incredible, and there's nobody at the access ever. So we have tons of those in the area, and we are definitely spoiled when it comes to that. And it's nice to be able to kind of throw a dart.
Yeah.
I know me and Jason were talking the other day, and he's like, where are you going tomorrow? And I'm like, I need to change the scenery. I think I'm going to go to Bemidji. Because I've hardly been on Bemidji this year at all. And he's like, yeah, I need to change the scenery too. I'm going somewhere off the beaten path. So he went down some gravel road and got some walleyes, and I went to Bemidji and got some walleyes, and it was nice to just change up the scenery. And I fought the Bemidji grind hard all spring. I'm like, before I'm stuck guiding every day on Bemidji, I want to fish other lakes every day. but now I think I'm stuck. I'm doing Bemidji pretty much every day, aside from a few trips out on Turtle, and maybe I'll get the rare one elsewhere, but I'll be on Bemidji pretty much the rest of the season now. So.
I love that very, very good description. He went down a gravel road. Thanks for that.
You like that?
I do. Yeah, that's very helpful.
Yep.
More cryptic advice from Matt Brewer is coming up, and his first ever Fast Five, too. This is Fish and Paul Bunyan Country. If you're ready to write the next chapter of your life and love the outdoors, Northwest Technical College might be the perfect fit. Northwest Technical College in Bemidji has state-of-the-art technical education and 6 career paths in the heart of the Northwoods. Automotive, building trades, business, health, childcare, and manufacturing technology. We're surrounded by more than 400 lakes and acres of forests. You can be fishing, you can be hunting, and you can be plotting the course of your life all at the same place. The shortest path to your dream job begins at Northwest Technical College, Bemidji's Technical College. Learn more today. Visit ntcmn.edu.
I'm Chuck Hassey, Leisure Outdoor Adventures, and you're listening to Fish and Paul Bunyan Country.
When last we left our fine radio program, Matt Brewer of North Country Guides was being very obtuse about where the hot fishing spots were. Let's see if we can get him to be a little more acute. Hey, are you going to tell us where you caught those big smallies, by the way, or not?
No.
I guess we can't. Hey, I had to try.
Oh, I might have been down by Park Rapids, or I might have been on Big Turtle, or I might have been on Island Lake. I could have been anywhere. Never know.
Okay.
The people who are into smallmouth fishing probably know one of the 4 lakes I was on. So it's but this time of year when they're on the beds, I mean, you know, I and not trying to brag and say, oh yeah, look at, you know, look how well we did. It's not hard to catch them when they're either on the beds or adjacent to beds post spawn. You know, you find a rock pile on a lake that has smallmouth, and you can catch them pretty easy. And the size is, you know, it's just a coin flip. If it bites and it's big, you love it. And if it bites and it's small, you still love it. You just don't take a picture.
So. You know, what's really cool about, you know, this area in the last several years is, you know, we've had throughout the fishing world, you know, some not so happy changes when it comes to like AIS and things like that. But the growth of smallmouth populations in so many more lakes up here, that's a good one. That's a good change.
Yeah, and it was all thanks to one air quotes accidental drop of a few smallmouth into one lake, and they really took off and spread out through the river system. And you know, there are like five viable lakes where you can go smallmouth fishing now that, you know, 20 years ago when I started guiding, so 21 years now, they didn't have smallmouth in them.
Right.
And even, you know, muskies have started to expand too. So, you know, lakes are definitely changing. You know, I've seen it over the course of my life, my career. Like, Bemidji is a prime example. When I was out there Monday, it's a totally different lake than it was last year this time of year. The zebra mussels and rusty crayfish have changed the dynamic of the lake, and it's just a whole different animal. And some of these lakes, like Cass Lake is a prime example. You know, a lot of people had to relearn, including me. I had to relearn how to fish Cass Lake. It was like starting all over again. The fish were still in the same areas, a lot of the same areas, but some of the spots I used to fish are completely dead. I haven't caught a fish on them in a couple of years. And I keep going back to them because I'm like, oh, I remember, you know, a guide trip out here where we caught 50 one day, and now there aren't fish on them anymore. So the lakes are changing, and everything's changing. Things have evolved. Like, I have people ask me all the time, they're like, oh, where'd you catch them? How'd you do? Were you marking them on side imaging and then casting at them? And I'm like, I don't even have side imaging. Like, I don't have 90% of this technology that's out today. So angling itself is different. I mean, it's a whole different world. I still prefer just lining up, you know, that tree in that cabin and dropping anchor and pitching around and fishing those old memories. And I'll be that old guy one day that just gets rid of all of his electronics and talks about the good old days when you didn't need any of that stuff.
But you sound like that old guy already.
Oh, I know. when all I have are 2 9-inch screens in my boat, you know, I'm the old guy who doesn't have very good electronics now. So if you don't have a 52-inch LCD with side imaging and fish attracting sonar, then you're just out of the loop.
I think it was Dwayne Peterson I was talking to, and I said, you know what, we should have a fishing tournament with no electronics. And he says, well, that would be interesting if you want a fishing tournament that no one will come to.
I would go to that tournament.
I know you would.
me and Dwayne, we could just hammer it out. Speaking of the Petersons, I have to give a huge shout out to Jason Charlie for being two big bass heads that went out and just dominated a major walleye tourney. And I called him. Like I said, I hadn't been on Bemidji all year, and I guided out there the other day. And I'm like, I'm sorry to bug you, King, but but there's slime in every spot I fished. Did you guys find this? And he's like, yeah, it's terrible. And I'm like, asking him about, you know, I didn't want to infringe on any of his spots or ask him for spots, but I'm like, you know, how are you getting away from this? Where are you fishing that you're not having to take slime off your jig every single day? And he was super helpful, and that's a great kid and well-deserved tourney win. So.
Absolutely great. The whole clan, that whole Peterson clan, I love those guys, and really good people, and excellent anglers. And how could you not be great if you're Jason Charlie when you've heard it from about 3 generations of people from the time you were about 2, day in, day out, you know?
Oh, don't take away from them. They're just good anglers.
Well, they are. You know, lots of people hear lots of great advice and don't listen to it, and they do, and then they've converted that into knowledge, and then, of course, added their own knowledge to it. And it's, that was a pretty impressive performance.
If they're anything like my kid, I can attest to the fact that he doesn't listen to anything I say, and that everything he catches, he does on his own, because when he catches it, he's doing the exact opposite of what I tell him he should be doing. So,
wow!
So if anybody ever tries to tie him being a good fisherman to being my son, it's not my fault, because he's not listening to me.
He's Matt Brewer of North Country Guide Service, talking about all kinds of topics, and we've got more to come next, including his first ever fast bond.
This is Toby Cavalli-Buck. All of us at LOA are proud to make Kev Jackson sound smart. Sort of. This is Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors.
Hi, this is Dick Beardsley, Bemidji Area Fishing Guide. I'd like to invite you to come to our beautiful town of Bemidji. We've got over 400 lakes in our area teeming with walleye, pike, muskie, bass, and panfish. We're the gateway to the Chippewa National Forest. We've got miles upon miles of biking and hiking trails. Paul Bunyan and Babe the Blue Ox. fine shops and eateries in downtown Bemidji, headwaters of the mighty Mississippi at Itasca State Park, beautiful resorts, hotels, and bed and breakfasts. Visit Bemidji one step further.
I'm Kevin Cochran, and you're listening to Fishing Paul Bunyan Country.
Matt Brewer of North Country Guide Service, my guest. We've been talking fishing, but there's so much more to the Matt milieu. Let's talk about something else, because I know you do so many other things. How was turkey season for you?
Turkey season was really good. We did very well, but we limited our turkey season so much this year. It was just, like, time constraints, and I was on assignment for a couple of things that were not very exotic, I'll say, like... Going to North Dakota for a turkey hunt wasn't exactly my dream when I'm normally hunting, you know, like Kansas or Missouri or Florida or something like that. So, you know, you go, oh, I get to go to North Dakota. That wasn't exactly like my happy place, but we did well over there. And we did really well in Minnesota. We had some absolutely incredible hunts in Minnesota, including my wife, who turkey hunted with me once ever until this year, and she prefers to go with her girlfriends, and as she always has these great hunts and great stories with her girlfriends, but she wasn't successful on her weekend trip with her buddy. So I woke her up one morning and I'm like, let's go turkey hunting, and she's like, no. And like an hour later I woke her up again, I'm like, I'm still awake, we need to go turkey hunting today. And finally talked her into it, and we had a tom strut and gobble in front of us for 55 minutes, and she finally killed him in full strut. So that was really cool and special to sit down next to my wife. It was the first turkey we've ever killed together.
Really?
And,
wow.
You know, it's not because we don't like each other. she's got her turkey friends, and I've got my turkey friends. And that was really special. But yeah, we did really well. We just didn't get to go to a lot of different states, and when you only get to kill, like, you know, two or three a year, it gets a little depressing when you're an addict. Like, if I could travel to, like, one year I killed like 8 turkeys, and if I could just do that every year, I'd probably be a little happier.
You know, that's another thing that has kind of changed the dynamic up in this area, where we didn't have wild turkeys until the last decade or so. And that's just the number of guys I'm seeing on social media that I typically see doing a bunch of fish pictures in May. Now I'm seeing turkey pictures in May, and I'm not seeing fish pictures till June for some of these guys.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, I know. But you're not alone in that. There's a lot of people.
No, yeah. It's a huge growing sport. Kind of like you, social media, I saw a few people that are diehard fishermen, and all of a sudden I saw a picture of them with a turkey, and they're like, oh, I killed my first turkey this year, it was really fun. And I'm like, holy cow, I didn't even know that person owned a gun. And yeah, so it's a growing sport, and unfortunately and it's hard for a lot of people around here to believe, because we're starting to see turkeys all over, but the turkey populations are in trouble across the country. So there's a lot of states that are really cutting back on their license availability and amount of birds you can kill, and tightening their seasons and stuff like that. But, you know, for us up here, we're looking at it going, that's not true. There's birds showing up everywhere, and there didn't used to be. But as a whole, over across the country, it's a little concerning. Turkey numbers are going down a bit, so.
What's causing that? Do you know?
Habitat, just like everything else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then some birds were impacted by that bird flu swath that happened, and you know, mostly habitat, and obviously changing climates, and you start to Mother Nature starts to mess with the natural order of things, and animals that have been doing the same thing year after year their entire lives starts to change things. So
yeah.
Wetter spring or a drier spring changes everything. So.
Right. You know, it's, but up here, like we say, where it's just getting started, what I think makes it so popular is it's, you know, before you can really get into fishing sometimes, because the lakes are still frozen over, you can get outside and do something again. It's, you know, it's a warmer weather hunt than most of our hunting seasons.
Yeah, it's a great filler. And like for me, I spent many years looking for that filler, you know, like ice fishing season would end and I'd go turkey hunting with my family down in Rochester. If we were lucky enough to draw a tag back in the days, you know, a lot of people listening probably don't remember it. Like, we only had turkeys down in that hill country in southeast Minnesota, and you had to apply for a tag, and there were like less than 100 tags at one point in Minnesota total, and you had to draw one. And if we were lucky enough to draw, that gave us something to do for a weekend. But if you didn't draw one, you just had to sit around and wait for the ice to go away so you could go summer fishing. But then I found snow goose hunting and got addicted to that for a while. But then it was like, you know, you're traveling, you're away from home, and then I started having kids, and my kids started getting older, and then it's like, oh yeah, I got to find something a little easier. And then it became full on turkeys, and now that's all I want to do all year.
Speaking of hunting, something you do this time of year and probably earlier as well, is you're an edible hunter as well. And you know, it was awfully dry last year and awfully tough. I gotta think it's a little bit better this year.
Yeah, it was a phenomenal morel season, and now we're kind of past it. Actually, Tate, he has a job this year, so that's kind of cool, but he came home the other day from work and he had two morels and he's like, they're still going. I'm like, what? In June? And now we're kind of looking for asparagus in the ditches, and fishing is going strong now, so I'll kind of take a break from edibles here until summer edible season starts in late June, early July, and I'll kind of get back after it. But it was a really good morel season, I think. Anybody who chases mushrooms will tell you that this was a banner year. So,
well, yeah,
it lasted a long time too.
Did it?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, that's, I mean, after last year, you deserve that.
Yeah, I think everybody's cupboards were probably empty when it came to mushrooms. Last year was absolutely terrible with basically drought. We had about a week and a half, maybe, of decent picking last year, and then it was over, and summer edibles really never materialized. I mean, we'd go out and find patches here and there, and, you know, 3 or 4 days after a rare rain, you'd go out and you'd pick a few, but it was downright slow, and this year, it's been good, and hopefully it continues to be good. The downside is if we get rain like we have been, then I have to mow, like, once a week. And after last year, only having to mow like three times all summer, it's a change, because finding a 5-hour chunk to do my lawn during the week is pretty difficult. So
yeah,
I haven't liked having to do that every week so far. But
Matt, you don't have to do it. Help the pollinators. Don't mow. Help the pollinators.
That's what I should do. I should just tell my wife that we need to let our land go back to natural prairie, and that we're helping the meadowlark.
Yes, exactly.
And that's the end of the discussion.
Well, have you heard anybody do the Fast Five yet? Are you familiar with the Fast Five?
No, I don't think I am.
Well, the Fast Five is something we do now pretty much every time you're going to be on, because I've like put together like 100 and some questions. Anyway, we ask you five quick questions to kind of get to know you a little bit better.
Okay.
And this first batch, I think I'm going to know the bulk of the answers. Not all of them, but the bulk of the answers. Because they're outdoor-oriented at first. We'll get into other details of your life in later interviews. But are you ready?
I'm ready.
Fast Five. Did I stutter?
Question number one. What is your favorite fish to catch?
Smallmouth bass.
Didn't know that.
Oh, God, that's a tough one.
Question.
Lake trout in the winter, smallmouth bass in the summer.
Okay. Question number two. What is your favorite fish to eat?
Perch.
The next two are non-outdoor questions, but I'm curious as to the answer to this one. Question number three. What is the best Star Wars movie?
A New Hope.
Going old school.
Yeah, you gotta go old school.
All the way back to the beginning.
Yeah.
I'd say it's either that or Empire Strikes Back, one of those two. All right, number five. What was your favorite subject in school?
Recess. No, probably English. Like, I've always enjoyed writing. So, English. English was the least painful.
I actually said that was question five. That was actually question four. Here is question number five. And I think I know the answer to this one, too, because we just talked about it. What is your favorite thing to hunt?
Turkeys. Yeah. And if you had asked me a couple years ago, I still would have said grouse. And it's really hard for me now not to say rough grouse. But if I'm being honest with myself, the addiction, the feeling I have for turkeys is stronger. But grouse season lasts longer. So, but yeah, for sure turkeys.
All right, there it is, your first Fast Five. You did pretty good.
Those were am I easy? I'm already looking back on that.
Oh, yeah, we'll get into a lot of other topics that could be very controversial in the future. Well, Matt, if people want to go fishing with you and, hunting with you and whatever else it is you lead people in the outdoors, how do they get signed up and ready to go?
Yeah, if you want to reach me or any of the team, just go to northcountryguides.com. I will say our website hasn't been updated since 2018, but you can get a hold of us, phone, email, whatever, social media, they're all listed there, so it's the easiest way to contact us.
Fun guy to have on the show because he's kind of the Renaissance guy of the outdoors. There isn't anything in the outdoors, I don't think, that he doesn't do.
Still no wild rice. Haven't done it.
Okay, you've got to do it. Come on, man. You got to do that.
This year that I didn't. Yep.
All right, we'll see if we'll find out in the future if he ever finds his way to wild rice beds. In the meantime, Matt Brewer, thanks for your time today, and enjoy the summer.
Thanks, Kev.
Hey, don't forget, if you didn't catch all the interview or you'd like to listen at a time that's more convenient for you, there's always a podcast version that oftentimes features even more content than the radio version. You can find it on the website, kbunsportsradio.com or kb101fm.com. Click on podcasts. Click on Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors. Or you can subscribe at Podcast One on the PodMN app, where you'll get hundreds of Minnesota-based podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks to Matt Brewer for being here, as always. Great stuff coming up later in the week. We're going to hear from Nate Blazing on the Brainerd Lakes fishing scene. We're going to take a look at the Duluth Superior scene with Jared Houston as well, and we've got a Lake of the Week coming up too. I'm Kev Jackson. Thanks for being here. We'll talk again tomorrow. This has been the Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors Podcast, sponsored by Visit Bemidji and Grand Haven Campground. The Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors Podcast is also sponsored by Bemidji State University and Northwest Technical College. And don't forget, you can listen to Fish and Paul Bunyan Country on KB 101 FM and KBUN Sports Radio 104.5 weekdays, as well as Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors Saturday mornings on KBUN Sports Radio 104.5, B93.3 in Brainerd-Baxter, and Kick FM in Alexandria.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.